Well, I'd like you to take your Bibles today and turn to the book of Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And I'll be reading from verse number 1 to verse number 9. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are an awesome God. Dear Lord, we are thankful that we can go to you in prayer and that you intercede on our behalf. Dear Lord, we thank you that your name is a name above all names. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Heavenly Father, we come before you today as a needy people. We recognize that we can find strength in your word. Dear Lord, we can find wisdom, we can find guidance, we can find comfort and peace. Lord, I pray so that you would use this day and this message to speak to hearts in a very special way. I pray that you would strengthen those who are weak. I pray that you would encourage those who are disheartened. And I pray that you would stir the hearts of every believer. I pray that you would save the lost. Dear Lord, I pray that you would use your word to accomplish your will in every heart and every life today. I pray that you would cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your precious Holy Spirit. Give me the words you'll have me to say. May there be a source of encouragement to each one here today. And may you take full control. Do what only you can do. And we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for it and to give you all the honor and glory that's due your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. For those who are in the food preparation industry, I'm sure that you would agree with me that recipes are very valuable items. Recipes themselves, they detail a set of instructions with the objective of achieving a desired outcome. Most often, we associate recipes with the preparation of food. And so for individuals in the food industry, these recipes represent so much more than instructions written on a piece of paper. These recipes represent their livelihood. They represent their source of income. They represent years of experience, their sacrificial investment of time, effort, and money. And so if you or I would go and, as individuals who are not in the food preparation industry, and we would approach someone who was in that industry and ask that individual for their recipe for their delicious chicken or their delicious Johnny cakes. Don't be upset if they tell you politely, "I cannot give you my recipe." And if they decide to give you, let me give you a little secret. Even though I'm not in that field, don't expect them to tell you every last minor detail about how they really do it. See, I heard a big amen. I know who that amen came from. That recipe is very valuable, and it ought not to be treated as though it is not worth much of anything. Do you know that restaurant owners pay handsomely for recipes that they will in turn use to prepare dishes to sustain their businesses? It is understood that that recipe is more than some words on a paper. They represent a great investment of time, resources, effort, and experiences. Recipes for food are valuable. But I would dare say that everyone may not be interested in them because some, like me, are not really that interested in food preparation, but we are interested, pretty much all of us, in eating. However, while everybody may not be interested in a food recipe, I would venture to suggest to you that inherently, people generally have a desire for success. And so we find in our world today, there are many people who are searching, if you will, for the recipe for success. People search for it by patterning their lives after successful people, successful organizations, successful countries. And this is why, even locally, you would observe that if someone goes into a particular industry and they start a business, and that business appears to be successful or to be making money, you're guaranteed to see several of these businesses now begin popping up all over. Why? Individuals are searching for the recipe for success. Now, success can be measured in a variety of different ways. Some measure success based on how much money you make. Some measure success based on what car you drive, what house you live in. But it's very important that we measure success based on God's parameters. Amen? When God gives you success, you are successful indeed. And this morning, I want to preach a message entitled, "The Recipe for Success." The recipe for success. It's interesting to note that the word success is found only one time in the Word of God. And it's found in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. It says in this verse, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And so it's very instructive that if we want to find the path for success, let's find out what God has to say about it. Now, just like any recipe, you have to have some ingredients to work with. And if you read the verses prior to Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8, God himself here gives us some things to work with. God did not just put us in a scenario and put us in a situation and just said to us, "Go have success. He gave us some ingredients. He did some things. He fully accomplished his end of the bargain in setting us up to be able to achieve success. Joshua, the one who continued on from Moses after Moses is dead, was now here with the tremendous task of leading the children of Israel into the promised land. And God says to him here in the preceding verses, he says in verse number 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even the children of Israel. And God proceeds to give Moses several promises. He says, Joshua, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Thank God for his promises. Amen. Amen. The promises of God. You can count on the promises of God. God says, I've given you my promises. But Joshua, I'm also giving you my provisions. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you what you need in this endeavor. But Joshua, I'm also going to give you my power. It says in verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. My power is going to be with you. I'm going to give you my protection. I'm going to have a hedge around you. Why? Because you are my chosen people. He says, Joshua, be of a good courage. Don't be afraid. I'm going to give you my prediction that you will inherit this land. And he assured Joshua and the children of Israel of his of their prosperity, that he wants the very best for them. So here it is that in these verses, God says, Joshua, you have all these things at your disposal. But just like with any recipe, you have all the ingredients. There's some things that you would have to do to be able to achieve the final product. He says, Joshua, you don't worry. I want the best for you. I've given you the tools. I've given you the wherewithal. I've given you the ingredients. But there are some things that you must do in order to have success. In order for this recipe to work for you, I've done my part. I've given you everything that is available at your disposal. But if you want to have success, there's some things that you're going to have to do. And God is saying to us today, as my people, as children of God, as people of God, I want you to be successful. Amen. We're living in a world where people want success, but they want it outside of God's way. God says, I want you to have success as well. That's the good news. But here is my recipe for success. I want you to jot these things down in the recipe for success. First of all, if you and I are going to be successful in accomplishing God's will, if we're going to be successful in our own personal endeavors, we must have, first of all, confidence in the sovereign. Amen? Amen? Confidence in the sovereign. The definition of confidence is simply full trust, belief in the powers, the trustworthiness, or the reliability of a person or a thing. God says, if you want to have success, you must, first of all, have confidence in me. Look at verse number 6. He says to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Look at verse number 7. He says, only be thou strong. When he mentions here to Joshua on two separate occasions to be strong, this indicates more than physical strength. But it implies here a belief in God and what he has said and what he has done in the past. The question for us is, in our endeavor to have success, how much confidence do we have in God? How much do we really take God at his word? Success begins with believing God. Notice that I did not say success begins with believing in God, but success begins with believing God. When God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, do we believe that when everything is going crazy? Or when we've lost a loved one? When we have health problems, when the money is funny, when there's family problems, do we believe God and take him at his word? Do you know, as a people, and I include myself, that it's so very easy for us to doubt God. So very easy. This is not something new. When the disciples were going across the Sea of Galilee, and the winds and the waves began to get boisterous. With Jesus in the boat, they began to worry. They began to be so fearful. And Jesus, after calming the storm, says to the disciples, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? That tells me that God expects us to have confidence in him. Amen? Confidence. When Peter was walking on the water and he stepped out on faith and he began to sink, Jesus said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? God wants us to have confidence in him, to believe in him, irrespective of the situation. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You see how easy it is to sin? Just doubting God. Doubting his ability to intervene on our behalf. Doubting his ability to provide for us. Doubting his ability to protect us. God says, you must have confidence in me. Amen? Confidence in the sovereign. He says, Joshua, you're about to go into this promised land. It's a place with obstacles, and it's a place that you're going to have to overcome some battles. But you must go recognizing that I am with you, and you must recognize that you can count on me. Amen. And you can rely and depend on me. Success, first of all, begins with confidence in the sovereign. But secondly, I want you to notice, success is achieved not only with confidence in the sovereign, but you must have courage to stand. Courage to stand. The Bible says in verse number 6, it says, be strong and of a good courage. Verse number 7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous. You see, courage is a word that goes a little further than confidence. Confidence has the idea of a deep-seated belief. But courage implies action that comes about as a result of confidence. If you look at verse number 7, look at what the verse says there. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to what? To do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. When you have courage to stand, what you've done is that you've taken that confidence and you've infused it with some action, because that confidence is settled. So courage. God says, Moses, I want you to go into this promised land, and I want you to be courageous, to have some courage that I am with you, and your confidence manifests itself in some action. I can't say I have confidence in God and it not manifest in a decision to do something to demonstrate that my confidence was real. Courage to stand in the face of adversity. This courage to stand, it implies some action associated with it. But it also indicates adversity. You see, courage is never needed to do what's average. Courage is never needed to do what is normal. When we speak of having courage, there's an indication that there is something difficult that is being faced. There is some seemingly difficult challenge to overcome. So it will require courage to be able to overcome it. Now, here's something that I observed about courage. That courage is different for each person. Because what might be considered courageous for you might not be courageous for me. Because we may be at different stages in our personal growth. For example, if my niece decided that she wanted to walk from this top step here down to the bottom step, right? Because of her small stature, that may require some courage to walk from this step to this step to this step. But for me, it does not take any courage in order to do this. All right? As a matter of fact, I'm able to jump, as you've seen in times past, from the top step to the bottom, and I hope that continues for a very long time. And then the funny thing is, when you're young, it takes some courage for you to walk down these steps. And then they say, what? Once a man, twice a child. As you get older, eventually it also begins to take some courage for you to come down the steps. But courage is different for different people. What might be courageous for you might not be courageous for me. And so that is why in this Christian walk and in this journey, we ought to be patient with individuals, because in the realm of Christian growth, courage is based on where you are. But God wants us to demonstrate courage in Him. Amen? Amen. And have confidence and courage to stand. It's different for each person. But here's something about courage. Courage is developed when exercised properly. It's developed. Listen, no matter where you are, God wants you to step out in faith in Him. Wherever you are. What is courage for you may not be courage for me, but whatever is courage for you, have courage to stand for God. Courage is developed. And here's the thing why it is so important that we develop courage in standing for God. Because when you attempt things for God and you see what God has done, listen, you are motivated to attempt even bigger things for God because you have seen what He has done in the past. But it requires stepping out in faith wherever you are. You see, when you go to school, the first grader is not expected to do what the sixth grader is doing. But that first step of faith is always the most difficult one. Young people, I say to you in school, don't be afraid to let your peers know where you stand. On your job, don't be afraid to approach that boss, to let that boss know, hey, what you're asking me goes against my convictions and my principles. Developing courage is like developing physical fitness. See, if you want to get physically fit and you want to be able to develop some bulk or some muscle or even to lose some weight, listen, if you go to the gym and you keep repping that 2-pound weight until the cows come home and you're not feeling anything, listen, you're fooling yourself if you think that you're getting fit. It's really quiet in here. Maybe it's just because people don't go to the gym. But listen, you got to up that weight. Listen, if 5 2-pounds was a challenge for you, after it becomes easy, you got to move to 5. And after 5 gets easy, you got to move to 10. And after 10 gets easy, you got to move to 20. But you got to keep stepping it up. To keep progressing, one must challenge himself physically. And similarly, in the spiritual realm, if we want to progress and have success and advance in the work of God, we must attempt great things for God and step out in faith in doing so. You know, in giving, after a while, 10% is not enough. After a while, 10% is average. 10% requires no faith. It is just normal. It's about time. After growing in my Christian walk and seeing God do some great things, I said, listen, 10%, listen, that is not exercising any more faith. I got to step up to at least 11%. I got to step up to 12%. That's growth. That's progressing. That's taking having courage to stand for God. Committing to a ministry. God wants us to have courage to stand for him. Let me share with you a little story. I guess the individuals might be a little embarrassed, but I'll share it anyway. We were here, of course, several nights as choir members and soloists and working towards this production that we had this past week. And most of you might not know, but I gave my wife this song, Use Me, that was a challenge. That song was a challenge because it required that she sing with what's called chest voice. And you know, she likes to sing in what's called head voice, in those notes that go up all in the ceiling. Like, that's kind of like easy for her. But when she has to sing in that chest voice with that real kind of raspy sound, and it really has this resonance and with it, for those of you who heard that song, listen, that's really hard. And it requires a lot of effort and energy, something that she's not accustomed to. And so she would be tempted to sing those notes and then going back into that head voice, because she says, oh no, I can't sing those high notes in that chest voice. It's too hard. And so we were down here, and she was singing that song, and every time she got to that high note, she would go back into that head voice. And Sister Reynolds says, Missionary, you can do it. You can do it. She said, oh, no, it's too hard. I can't do it. And she says, yes, you can do it. And she gave her some tips, and she actually did it. And she kind of surprised herself. And guess what happened? After she went home, she was singing it, and she was singing higher notes, and after a while, she was singing higher notes and higher notes. Why? Because there was courage to step out on faith. Amen? Let me share something else with you. These productions that we do, I promise you, sometimes, it happens almost every year, whenever we do it, about maybe 2 weeks or so before, I begin to get this panicky feeling. I'm like, are you serious? Sometimes I want to just say, can we scrap the whole thing? I think I've kind of stepped out a little too far beyond my comfort zone. I've put individuals outside of their realm of capability. Can we cancel? Listen, but that's a trick of the devil. You got to keep persevering and pushing and pressing, and we can do it in the power of Jesus' name. And by God's grace, he does great things. Amen. We have to learn to attempt great things for God and have courage to stand for him. Amen? That's a very important part of the recipe for success. That's why I love that phrase that, listen, your best can get better. But your best can only get better when you keep pressing and keep pushing and keep depending on God and having courage to do great things for him. The recipe for success, it begins with confidence in the sovereign. It continues with a courage to stand. But thirdly, notice, there must be consistency in studying. Look at verse number 8. Very important. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt do what? Meditate therein day and night. If you want to have success in your life, for God to prosper your ways, you must meditate on the Word of God. Amen. Learn the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Learn what God has to say about every situation. Do you know that the Bible is God's love letter to us? Can you imagine how God feels when we discard and ignore his precious word? Most of you would be aware that before my wife and I got married, we had never lived in the same place. And whether for better or for worse, this was before the days of internet and Facebook and WhatsApp and FaceTime and video calling. So those who are in the dating age now, listen, you have it so easy. We had to rely on old-fashioned letters. The postman and the post lady knew us by name. As for us, getting a letter was a huge event. Sometimes letters would be backed up in the at the post office because sometimes they were just too slow. They couldn't keep up with the rate of letter writing. But when you got a letter from your significant other, listen, let me tell you one of the things that you do, or that I did. I don't know if you did, but let me just tell you what I did. When I got that letter, I opened it. I rushed to open it. But that's where the rushing ended. Because once I got that letter, listen, I read it slowly. Listen, it would take me about 30 seconds to a minute to read the words, "Dear sweetheart." And you stop right there and you meditate on it. You don't rush through the thing. It's a love letter. You take your time, word by word. Is it only me? How many of you did that? Only me and my dad? Well, thank God I got great genes. You got to go through the thing slowly. Let it marinate. You absorb every word. And then you go back later and you read it again. And again. And again. Exactly. I still have the boxes. But that's what you do with a love letter. God has given us his word and so many discard it. Don't know what it says. Not interested in it. It's just amazing on a Bible study on a Wednesday night in the majority of churches is the most poorly attended service in churches all around the world. How could that be? We are studying God's love letter to us. Amen. God says meditate on it day and night. Studying vital, essential doctrines in the Word of God. Brethren, as a pastor, I am very concerned at the high levels, and I don't say this in a demeaning way. I say this with the true context of the word, but I am really concerned at the high levels of ignorance about the word of God, especially among our children. And it's not just our children because they got it from somewhere. It has started with our parents and it is exponentially being realized in our children. I go to schools and I ask in our entire school, how many of you have heard about Daniel? And a couple handful of hands go up in an entire school. We are in trouble. And then we wonder why our society is where it is. We as parents, we must take time to teach our children the word of God. We have to put time aside to have personal family devotions. That's not a thing of the past, or at least it should not be. He says, therein day and night. Listen, the retention of simple biblical facts among this generation, or the lack thereof of retention, it is downright scary to me. Listen, I preach expositorily, verse by verse, through the book of Acts for a year, 2 years, plus 100 messages. And then I come back and I ask questions. And I'm like, I never heard that before. I'm like, what? biblical retention if we don't even know the word of God? How in the world are we going to apply it to our lives? Knowing the Bible is only part of it. You got to then take it and apply it to your daily lives. Take time to meditate on it. Like a cow chewing its cud, rehearsing and digesting, thinking about it, understanding. What does this mean to me right now? What does it mean when I go to school? What does it mean when I go on a job? What does it mean when I interact in my relationships? How do I put the Bible into practice? Practical growth in Christianity is not just about religious routine. In fact, it is not about religious routine. It's about a relationship. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15 and 16. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine, continuing them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. If we want to save this generation, it must be based on the word of God. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We got to determine and make a pledge. I'm going to take some time away from Facebook and get my face in the book. If we plan to turn the situation around, it's a simple reality. There has to be some consistency in studying. Number four, we must have some conviction to speak. Look at verse number 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not what? Depart out of thy mouth." Now I had to deal with the matter of consistency in studying and meditating before talking about the book of the law departing out of thy mouth. Because once you meditate on the word and the word is in your heart, then you will be equipped to be able to speak his word. Amen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so it's so vitally important that in order for me to do the right things and say the right things, I must first think on the right things. One of the reasons why there's such a lack of conviction in our society is because hearts have not been grounded and rooted in the things of God. David says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." Brethren, words are connected to our hearts. But here's another reason why it is so important to speak. Because when you speak, that's how other people know what your convictions are. Letting other people know where you stand, it is so critically important for your success. Listen, people approach you with propositions and offers based on what they hear you say. So if you're one of these silent Christians who never say anything, I promise you, you are faced with far more temptations and propositions that you would not even have to deal with if you would dare to open up your mouth and speak. Conviction to speak. Just yesterday, my wife and I were somewhere and ran into an individual. And this man said to my wife, through a series of conversation that developed, he says, "Listen," he said, "Miss Maynard, people are not going to come to you and make certain proposals because they've heard you speak in a variety of different forums and they've already assessed. Let me not even bother mentioning that to you. That's what the individual said. And he was not saying that they've heard her speak on the particular matter. He just said, they've already heard you speak and they've already sized up. And I can't even make such and such proposal. If we want to be able to be successful, we must have the conviction to speak what thus saith the Lord. Amen? Amen. He says, let not this book depart out of your mouth. Young people, you will save yourself a lot of temptation and peer pressure to do drugs. If you stand up and say, I will not do drugs, don't even bring it to me. I will maintain my purity until God brings that person in my life. Don't pass by here. Exactly. Keep it moving. Not this stop. You can stop down there, but not this stop. This is not a bus stop for you. Keep it moving. You're on the express lane when you pass my stop. But you got to stand and boldly declare where you stand. Conviction to speak. But notice finally, on this recipe for success, you must have compliance with the scripture. Look at verse number 7. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. He says, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest observe or mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He says the same thing in verse number 8. He says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. What is God simply saying here? If we want to have success, live according to the Bible. Amen. Don't pick and choose what you want to adhere to and what you don't want to adhere to. Let the Bible be your guide. Here's what Psalm 138 says in verse number 2. The psalm is speaking here. Listen very carefully, because I'm going to be closing with this. He says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You know what the psalmist is saying here? That God takes his word and he magnifies it above his very name. So here's what that means for you and me as believers. That when I live in accordance with what God has said in his word, God is obligated to function on our behalf for the sake of his very name. God is saying, when you do what I've said according to my word, I am obligated to intervene on your behalf to bring about success and prosperity for my reputation's sake. Because if I don't do it, then guess what? My reputation is on the line because I have said it in my word. What a guarantee. God says, don't turn. My character, my reputation, my integrity is on the line. Can you imagine God's integrity being on the line? That tells me that God will come through every single time for his name's sake. When I live in accordance to his word. God says, here's the thing about me. Be all in. Be all in. Don't be half in and half out. And then I will make your way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. What happens sadly is that we need God's help. We need God's intervention. But we, as it were, we limit his ability to take control of our situation. We limit his ability to resolve our situation. We limit his ability to bring about that healing that we desire. We limit his ability to turn the heart of that rebellious teenager. We limit his ability to be able to provide for that financial need, because somehow along the line we've determined with a what we would call a semi-rebellious spirit, God, you're speaking to me about this, but I want to ignore that. I'm doing some things over here that you said, but that area that you're working on my heart on, I just don't want to have to deal with that. God is saying, listen, obey me in every area. Don't go to the left hand or to the right, and watch me work for your behalf. That's what God is saying. He says, you want success? I got your success right here. I got it ready to just pour out a blessing that you won't even have place to receive. But you gotta stop limiting me. Stop tying my hands to intervene on your behalf. God says, I want you to be successful. He says, I want you to be prosperous. Will you honor me with your life? You obey me. You surrender totally to me. And watch and see what I will do. The recipe for success. God says, I got it right here. We all want success. Are we willing to try the recipe? Are we willing to let this recipe work in our lives, work in our families, work in our homes, our communities, in our nation? God says, I will do it. My character is on the line, and you can be assured that I will come through. I trust that every single one of us will take God as his word and let the recipe produce the product of a life that's successful and prosperous, so that God can be honored and glorified, and that others will pattern what we've done and embrace it for themselves.